Welcome to No Budget Dreams. I'm Kelsey Nicole. If you are coming back for episode 5, thank you so much for your support, and I appreciate you coming back for another journey. If this is your first episode, welcome aboard. You don't have to go back to the previous 4 episodes. Each episode stands alone, but I definitely recommend the previous 4 episodes because there's some really great content there. A no-budget dream is the perfect pitch for a project you'd create if money and intellectual property were no object. I have the conversations with my friends, and I built a podcast around it because it leads to some really good conversations. That being said, it is the nature of fandom that we'll all have different opinions, and we do disagree on things. So we try to come from a positive place here, but on the occasions where we are negative, please don't take it personally if you disagree with what we have to say. We don't want to isolate anybody, and nobody is wrong for feeling a different way. Even some of my guests and I have different opinions on different things, and that's okay, because we'll always find common ground somewhere. That's how fandoms work. So don't feel bad if you don't agree with me or with my guests. Chances are there's something down the line that you may agree with, and that's okay. Also, I do try to notate spoilers anytime they come up in our conversations. Typically, these are the realm of fantasy, and things that have not been created and don't exist will not exist. So we don't get too many spoilers around these parts, but when we do get them, I will notate them, because talking about fandoms, talking about things that we like, we can tend to reference things that are currently happening, or because of why we would change them or what we like about them. So that being said, in that spirit, we do have some spoilers in this episode. It's a little spoiler heavy. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone. I don't want to be the person that stopped you from getting to enjoy Avengers 4 the way that you wanted to because I ruined the trailer for you, Caitlin. Or I took you to a Tom King panel where he spoiled Batman. Anyway, the point is, I will notate spoilers in the show notes. I will give you the heads up in the intro. So that being said, there are a little bit of speculation spoilers for Batman 55. The issue had not yet come out yet when this was recorded, so it was all speculation. There's a little reference to things that are happening going forward, but nothing specific. I think it's just creative team change. Also, there's a lot of Spider-Man reference, but like, if you don't know Gwen Stacy's dead by now, where have you been? And also some reference to the last issue Dan Slott wrote, which was Spider-Man 800, I believe. And then a little bit of spoilers around the current run of Daredevil, issues 606, 607, and the issue that dropped recently, 608. So those are the spoilers. I will timestamp them in the show notes as well, so you know where to skip, but they are towards the end of the episode where we're kind of just talking, so if you want to just drop off then, Kyle's pitch will also be in the, or Kyle's plug will also be in the show notes as well, so feel free to drop off when we start talking about things that are no longer his no budget dream. So a little bit of housekeeping before I introduce Kyle, my guest. I do have social media, and I did create a website, so you can find all of the social media on nobudgetdreams.com. It will be live by the time this episode drops. I wanted to provide a space where you can interact with me or interact with my guests sometimes if they're interested, just to get a little bit more information about my opinions on things, their opinions on things, content that isn't really podcast appropriate, but is stuff that you might want to know. Also, I have Instagram where I post silly graphics, kind of hinting at what the topics are going to be about in the new episode. That is No Budget Dreams Pod on Instagram. You can tweet me at No Budget Dreams on Twitter and feel free to engage with me. I will try to be a little bit more active there and dropping information rather than just dropping the show and moving on. And you can email me at nobudgetdreamspod@gmail.com if you want to send me your no budget dream, talk to me about my no budget dreams. give me some constructive criticism, correct me on information I may have gotten wrong. I might have a wealth of knowledge of certain comics, but I might not remember things correctly all the time. That happens. So feel free to engage with me there. Also, if you happen onto Anchor, there is an option to support me now. I don't expect it. I don't require it. I don't think anybody's going to do it. But if you feel like throwing me a couple books, why not? The option was there, so I threw it on there. Again, no need to do so, but maybe buy me a coffee. Who cares? So that being said, I will go forward here, and I will introduce Kyle Lee. He is my friend, former coworker, a writer. We used to trade comic books on separate shifts, so I would be leaving work and leave a chunk of stuff on his desk, and then I would come into work, and then that chunk would be on my desk, plus whatever he was adding to the pile, and we had sort of a comic book exchange, and sometimes I would leave him little notes that said, no, fuck you, when they gave me no emotional reactions. So he is also the Barbara Gordon to my Dick Grayson, without the romantic part of the relationship, but 100% the relationship that she is done with his shit all of the time. He is done with my shit all of the time. So I will introduce him now, and there will be a little bit of music, and then we'll get into Kyle's No Budget Dreams. What's up?
Hey, hey.
Dude, I have not actually talked to you since April.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
Oh, man. So I'll give you the warning about the cats. They are chatty as fuck right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the Master Grace, and you know, you never know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Tiger immediately just went really loud the minute I touched him. So
I'll avoid touching my cat.
Okay. Yeah, he seemed to have gone to distract himself somewhere. So
okay,
we'll see what happens. But yeah, you know, if I yell shut up, it's not at you.
Or it might be at me.
I mean it can occasionally.
Yeah, there might be a situation where you might tell me to shut up.
Well, I will tell you that in the spirit of no spoilers, we've already kind of talked about Captain Marvel in text, and we have differing opinions on it, so we should probably just avoid that topic.
I think that would be fair.
More just for the spoilers end of it than the differing opinions, because
just the spoilers.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, all right. So that being said, what you got for me?
Okay. So I've got some like smaller ones that I'm not going to go into as much detail, because I don't think that you'll be interested in them, but I just wanted to throw them out there.
Hey, it's not for me. It's for the people.
Sure, but I mean,
20 people listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and I'm one of them. I'm a fan, so I want to keep it light. I want to keep the riffs going.
That's fair.
So,
I can riff on things I don't understand.
Okay. So one thing that I have always wanted is like a actually good wrestling game, and.
Okay.
A lot of them have just kind of fallen into this, we're still trying to make it look like a sport thing, and it's completely ignoring the fact that we all know it's not, like, we know it's predetermined. Like, lean into that.
We're not watching football or basketball here. We know we're watching a guy's soap opera.
Exactly. And I feel like too many of the games have tried to be a simulation of actual fights. And instead, I want a wrestling role-playing game that's like turn-based, kind of like Final Fantasy.
Okay.
And that way you have that give and take with the computer, where you're not trying to beat them necessarily, but you're trying to like collaborate to make something interesting. And then it is deter like you get a rating essentially as you tell the story that you're supposed to tell. And it's just focused on the reality of what being a professional wrestler is actually like.
It could be like choose your own adventure.
Exactly. Like, you make your own character and then you just play the role of a wrestler. And I think that would be super fun.
That does sound fun. See, that does sound like it would be fun because it would be more of a like you have maybe some predetermined stories, but it can be a lot like the games that have come out recently, like Detroit and some other ones where you have multiple different endings depending on choices that you make. And
Exactly.
I think also then it brings into the question like you have these people who are real people, but you can maybe change alliances or do different storylines based that would never happen on TV because they have certain things that they have to do. So I don't know who anybody is. I know who John Cena is. So like John Cena maybe is friends with somebody he's not normally friends with.
Yeah,
Is
yeah.
The Undertaker still a thing?
Shockingly, yes. He's like 80 years old and it's really sad to watch him try to wrestle now because like he just got a hip replacement and he moves real slow and it's bad. It's real
Oof.
bad. Everybody tune in to Undertaker fighting Triple H. Next month, I guess. Like, that's a real thing that's happening. Two guys that are not even wrestlers anymore.
Well past their prime.
Yeah. And we're being forced to believe that it's gonna be amazing. So that's great.
It's gonna be like watch it. It's gonna be like bum fights or
Yeah.
like, oh, it's gonna be like old people, like if you had wrestling but in a nursing home.
Yeah, so there's actually a story regarding that where there was an old wrestler who he had been wrestling for like 50, 60 years, and then he eventually got to the point where he was so old that they had to put him in assisted living, and he was senile at this point. And he ended up getting in a fight with a guy because he like warged out or something and ended up killing him. And it's like that's a real thing that happened and it's terrifying. So I want people to take care of their brains nowadays.
Or like that one that killed their family. He killed his family,
Yeah,
his like wife.
Chris Benoit. And yeah, that's an awful story and
It
it's
really
super
is.
sad.
I only know about it because Karen in Georgia talked about it,
Of
because
course.
Vince told Georgia about it.
Yeah. That's the other thing. We have podcasts that we listen to.
Hello?
If you like wrestling, it's great. So anyways, moving past that, there is a comic book idea that I kind of talked to you about a little bit, where I just want some sort of situation where Ben Grimm and Dr. Doom are trapped in space together and they have to go through all this junk to try and get back to Earth. So they're like having this situation where they begrudgingly have to work with the person that they hate most in the world, although Dr. Doom would probably say it's Reed, but like Reed, like he's just everybody hates him.
I mean, yeah, saying that you hate Reed Richards is like saying water's wet.
Exactly. Like everybody hates Reed. You're
Even
not
his
special.
best friend sometimes probably hates Reed Richards a little bit.
Oh, guaranteed. Guaranteed. He
Yeah.
turned him into a rock monster. How can you not hate him?
Exactly. I mean,
So
and we all know we all know that that marriage is like on its last threads.
it's a marriage in name only.
Yes. They
Because
definitely sleep in different rooms.
oh yeah. Oh yeah, and Sue is just like, oh, it's because he snores so loud, but that's not it. Like,
That's not
that's
it at all.
not it.
Sue is only not getting a divorce. They're staying together for the kids.
Yeah, 100%. And like, there's a reason that Sue has a room that's right by the ocean. Like, I don't want to make any assumptions about why she asked for that room, but you know.
Listen, I'm not saying that there might be an affair happening, but I'm
Yeah.
also saying there isn't. I'm not saying there isn't one.
I mean, you know, tides come in, tides come out. Nobody asks any questions.
I
Like, nobody
mean,
knows.
Fleet Week is a thing, so.
Absolutely. So it would be like a intergalactic planet.
Hello, dude, are you there?
Home, and maybe they can find a begrudging respect for each other at the end of it.
So, you're gonna have to repeat all of that
Oh
because it
no.
just
Okay.
cut out.
Okay. So I was saying it would be like an intergalactic planes, trains, and automobiles where they have to go from one place to another, and like maybe at the end of it they would maybe have a begrudging respect for each other and might actually kind of like each other all through it. You know, maybe
So
they can
every John Candy movie.
find exactly. And if I could do that, I would have John Candy play the thing. Like, are you kidding me? That would
Right?
be amazing.
He would be great.
And
Listen, Steve Martin, Doctor Doom.
I can't even express how funny that would be to me.
Right?
That I would love that. I would love that. Oh, yeah.
Things we never got and we'll never have.
Yeah,
Just
exactly.
disappointing.
So, one of my two big ones that I wanted to talk about, because I, like I said, I have listened to all of the previous episodes, and I'm a big fan. And yeah,
Oh, thanks. Oh, jeez. Tell me more about how great I am.
you're super cool. So I really enjoyed all the previous episodes, but I felt like everybody was going a little too realistic and
Okay.
for the term of no budget dream where you have to like really go out there. I am thinking of something that is quite literally impossible. There is no way that this could ever happen.
I mean, some people dream big and some people dream small. And if you're somebody who dreams big, I encourage you to just go for it.
So here it is. Everybody knows fan fiction. Everybody has their own
We all
ships
partake.
and OTPs and everything like that. We all have that side of our fandom where we really love a pairing of people, an idea, a headcanon, everything like that. So kind of going off of what you were talking about with like Detroit and like the choose your own adventure type of game, I want a fan fiction simulator
That
where you have access to every single character that has ever existed, and you can choose one. And you play through a story that is c uniquely catered to that character, and you can date any character that you want to. And you set up the whole thing, and it has an encyclopedic knowledge of both character histories, and it ties all of that into the story, and like, and it's AAA, like high budget video game where you have branching storylines and you can just act out your entire dream fan fiction. And part of that is one of my favorite games from last year was Injustice 2. And one of the things that I enjoyed most about it was you get to unlock different pieces of gear for each hero, and then you can apply it, and then you can like put a different color on it, and I basically called it my DC fashion simulator, because I was just like, I want to dress up Black Canary in a bunch of weird stuff, and it was pretty limited, but like there's some cool stuff. So I would include that portion of it where you like unlock different types of clothes and you get to like dress up your character in different costumes and stuff like that. And you can be like, oh, I'm gonna go out on a date, you know, I'm gonna dress up like this. So this
Listen, all I want is to be able to put Tony Stark in some of his dumb fucking outfits from the past 75 years of canon.
That's why I
I
wanted to
want.
include that this part into this whole story, because it's a part of that headcanon. It's a part of that fan fiction that we get attached to.
I want spare parts, man.
Yes.
I want to be able to do my Halloween costume this year, which I'm finally doing the crop top running
Oh,
outfit.
yes, absolutely.
I want to do, also, side note, tank tops are absurdly expensive for what I'm purchasing, and
Very strange. It's very strange.
I just want the clothing industry to like acknowledge that I shouldn't be paying $10 for basically a square of fabric.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, it's the same thing with shorts. Like, there are shorts that are more expensive than jeans. There are tank
Or like
tops
leggings.
that are, yeah, it doesn't make sense that you're paying more for less.
No, it doesn't.
We're on a tangent.
Well, that's okay. This is all about tangents. But I also want Dick Grayson's absurdly long ponytail.
Yeah. And then the best part about this game is you can have Tony Stark dressed up as spare parts man, and you can have him go to a spaghetti dinner with Dick Grayson with his fucking crazy ass ponytail. And then after they're done, they can go get gelato. And like
Amazing.
it's the best game, but it is also literally impossible.
I, you know, somewhere someone may get a great idea. The only thing we'd have to do is just get play Marvel and DC to play nice.
Yeah, and that and it'll never, especially not for this. Especially not for this. What do you
No, 100% wouldn't.
agree? Yeah, I know the entire pitch of you want to make a game where Batman goes on a date with Wolverine? Yeah, of course
Yes,
I
that is the thing that I want.
do. And I want them to have an interesting conversation. Now, chop chop.
Right, just they would have a lot to say to each other.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, like, I think the only way I would be able to make this happen is if quantum computing takes like a real hard left turn into like fan fiction side of the internet. But I would call it Fan Fiction Simulator 3000,
Perfect.
because you know that's the best.
Cut the check. There's no better name. I listen, there's no reason why Nightwing and Spider-Man wouldn't be friends.
I know,
There's zero reason.
and
They would
that's the
also
other thing.
probably fuck.
It wouldn't have to be like romantic. You could just have friends hanging out. You could just have like you could do the weird fan fiction where it's like, oh, we're rivals. Like, you know, I want to be the best, and there's no romance about it at all. Like, you would be able to build all of that however you want.
Yeah. No, I want this because then you don't know how many head like I have not expressed to you my multiple headcanons about how if DC and Marvel were the same universe that like Dick and Tony or Tony and Bruce would go way back. Like
Oh, yeah.
Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne would know each other from children and they would like either and I think that they would still be friends. I think that Bruce would be like weird about Iron Man sometimes and about the Avengers, because he wouldn't be allowed to control the Avengers like he can the Justice League. Mm-hmm. And he would be right there being like, what the hell are you doing? And Tony'd be like, whatever I feel like, bitch.
Yeah. And like, I have a headcanon if DC and Marvel were in the same universe, where obviously Commissioner Gordon and Captain Stacy are on the police force together.
Absolutely. And their daughters would be friends.
Exactly. They're Gwen Stacy and Barbara Gordon, my two favorite people in the world, would be friends. Because absolutely. That makes sense.
Yep. I'm for this. I want it created. I want to make it happen. I don't know who I can make it happen.
Yeah, if you want to like knock out Elon Musk and like give me a week, probably. I think I could probably do it in a week.
Yeah, but he's been kind of a shit turd lately, so I don't know if we really want to tap Elon Musk for much of anything.
No, that's why we knock him out.
Oh, okay.
We take him out of commission, and then
take over his company.
Exactly. And I just divert all of the fucking, he seems really into digging tunnels or something. I don't know. We divert all of that towards making this fan fiction simulator.
You know, all of that shooting Teslas into space stuff, just focus that energy on just fan fiction simulator.
Yes, exactly. You know, something that will actually help the world.
Right. And it doesn't make no sense at all.
Right.
Why are we sending a car into space? What is that doing? Zero things.
It's basically just telling the aliens, hey, we're assholes.
Right.
We're kind of assholes. Like, don't come here.
No. That is absolutely identifying to the rest of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
That we're just a bunch of fucking douchebags.
Yeah. Yeah. So
when if Star-Lord wasn't bad enough.
Yeah. And whereas with my plan, we would be putting something out into the universe that is good and is healthy.
It's just beautiful is what it is. I mean, think of all the beautiful friendships you could create, like Captain America and Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
they'd get along.
Right?
Like
Lois.
They're both into Lois, yeah.
Right. Well, Lois could also just, like, fire J. Jonah Jameson from his own paper.
Yes.
And just be like, I'm going to take this over and do it better.
Yeah, absolutely. And he would, what would he do? What would he
Nothing, do? Because you can't argue with Lois.
Yeah, you can't, because she's the best.
Mm-mm. 100%.
Yeah.
Just everyone loves Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Because if you don't love Wonder Woman, you're just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. I have a friend that actually, she just had her boyfriend watch Wonder Woman and he hadn't seen it yet. And he loved it. And she's like, he can stay. It's okay. Like, you know, if
yeah, okay, you don't have to dump him.
Exactly. If he didn't like it, deal breaker. I mean, that's a classic Liz Lemon deal breaker.
That's true. It's like the bar for people really is, do you like Wonder Woman?
Yeah.
And if your answer is no, you're garbage.
Yeah, you're bad. You're a bad person.
You're bad.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to talk about the main event?
I am ready for the main event because I already have a little idea of what it is and I'm so excited about it. Yes. Like,
and I like full on started taking notes about this entire idea. So as a little bit of background, Kelsey and I were texting each other back and forth and I came up with an idea about who my dream casting for J. Jonah Jameson would be in the MCU. And I brought up Mark Maron because I think that would be funny. And I think it would be very funny, even if they keep him in the newspaper, that like I think he'd be able to pull that off. He totally comes off as a New York newspaper kind of guy. Like it makes sense. But I was also thinking about what if we kept him closer to Marc Maron and kept him as a podcaster. And like he would have guests on that are like famous in the Marvel Universe, but the only thing that he wants to talk to them about is Spider-Man. So it derails all of these interviews that start off like totally normal, and he would be like, "Oh yeah, sure." And then what do you think about Spider-Man? It would become kind of like when Maron talks about like guitars. Or like, who were your guys? Who were your guys when you were a kid when you were watching comedy? Like, who were your guys? That sort of thing. So like, Spider-Man would be his diversion every single time, no matter who he's talking to. So that got me thinking about this whole larger picture of what would my dream Spider-Man movie be, and a lot of it is because I am full on Spider-Man invested right now. Like, because I,
Because of the game.
yes, because of the game, because I got it as soon as I possibly could. I got it at 9 p.m. on September 6th, and I have been playing it constantly ever since. Like, I have already 100%ed the game, beat the story, got every collectible, got everything. I did everything. And now I'm halfway through my second playthrough, because it's amazing. So I'm very much
Is
in
it amazing?
it right now. It's so hard to not use that word when you're talking about
Would you
Spider-Man.
say that it's also spectacular?
And it's even friendly.
What about superior?
It's superior to all other Spider-Men. Yes, I would
Perfect.
say that. So I'm
I think we've
definitely
run the gamut then of all the.
adjectiveless
Yeah, I think
Spider-Man.
we've hit all of the
Yeah,
adjectives, the
yeah,
Spider-Man adjectives.
yeah. Oh, we tried. So I'm definitely in the Spider-Man headspace right now. So I've been thinking about like what would be my dream Spider-Man movie with Marc Maron as J. Jonah Jameson as a starting point. So one of the things that I would really want is I want it to be a Secret Six movie. So I would kind of jump off of where they have set things up with Homecoming, where you have, Michael
Wait,
Keaton as,
Sinister Six?
yeah, or
Oh.
did I say Secret Six?
You did. I was like, wait, so Gail Simone's involved in this as well?
Yes. I'm going to have
We're
Catman.
doing wait, is this still your
It's the
is this
fan
still
fiction
your
thing.
pitch for the
I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. I'm trying. Yes, the Sinister Six. Alliteration and the number six. Like, what are you gonna do?
I mean, I know, that's why I was just clarifying.
Yeah. So
I'm helping.
thank you. I even have it written down right here, and I didn't even read my notes. I'm a dummy.
I mean, we've all been there.
So I would keep Michael Keaton as the Vulture. I thought he was in Homecoming, and I'd even keep Bokeem Woodbine as Shocker. I think he could probably be a pretty cool Shocker, considering Shocker's not that great. So like,
Right.
I think there's
You made me interested enough in Shocker to keep you as Shocker, so I think you've got a good thing going.
Exactly. Like you got rid of the first guy that was Shocker, and who was the worst. He was so bad. So like they got rid of him in Homecoming, and they replace him with Bokeem Woodbine, and it's gonna be great. So you have those two already established in Homecoming. And then I want to round out the rest of the six with Craven.
Yeah.
Mysterio, Rhino,
Okay.
and one more, but I wanted to kind of see who you. Oh no, I have it here. Doc Ock, obviously.
Yeah.
So that would be my crew, and I do have Norman in this fucking movie because
You have to. If you're including the Sinister Six, you have to have Norman.
I know, even though he's not going to be a part of the six, he's going to be there. We talked about who that should be. Christoph Waltz. I think that would be.
Okay, so Christoph Waltz, but also when Chris and I talk about it, we also like Bryan Cranston.
Oh, I mean, I kind of love Cranston as like a Lex Luthor, so I could definitely see it.
Yeah, like on
Yeah.
that same wavelength. Also, mostly because those two picks, though, for me are entirely based on the fact that I have a weird sexual thing for Norman. Like, I have a weird crush on him in a way that I cannot explain or justify to anybody.
It's the hair. It's
It
the
is 3,000% the hair.
hair.
It is. I just think, listen, I appreciate him in the same way that I appreciate a Batman, in that he's probably into weird stuff. And if there's a guy that is into weird stuff, I'm there.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I just.
I mean, I hate Norman Osborn with a
No, I know you do.
fiery
You have your.
passion, so
I know you can't get behind it and you'll never support it, and that's okay.
no,
I don't expect it.
I am your disapproving mother right now. Like, no, don't.
I mean, that I feel like your disapproval of me now is not dissimilar to your disapproval of me always, which is why you're the Babs to my dick. You just disapprove of 90% of my choices and then just go, "All right, well, good luck with that. I'm going to go over here and not do that thing that you want to do." And then when I come in, I go, "So I did the thing and it didn't go well." You're like, "Yeah, I know. I said it wasn't gonna, and you did it anyway."
Pretty much. Yeah. So, okay. So Christoph Waltz or Bryan Cranston, either one. The problem with that is I wasn't able to land on a Harry Osborn that fit.
I have a Harry Osborn.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you want to know my Harry Osborn?
Yes.
Justin Timberlake.
I mean, is it the hair again? Is it the hair again?
It's the hair, but also it's specifically the specific reason I have picked him is one, it's stuff that I don't want to get into to justify here because it goes off into a whole like other side tangent that I would then have to explain that to people who aren't aware of it. But also, have you seen the Bai commercial where he's like putting raspberries, blueberries inside of raspberries?
What?
Because
No.
it's so they're talking about how it's raspberry. It's like blueberry, raspberry flavor of Bai. And it's
Okay.
like set up like a newsroom. And the guy says, "This just in, Bai now comes in blue raspberry," or something like that. "And this Justin," and it like shows Justin Timberlake, and he's like, "Is stuffing blueberries inside of raspberries." And then he goes, "Blazberries." They're called blazberries. And then starts to like put them in the guy's mouth. And I don't, just something about that says Harry Osborn to me that he's probably stoned
Yeah.
and he's just sitting there doing the dumbest shit. But also, it's really funny. But I just think Justin Timberlake, also, he's kind of weird looking, but a little, but also attractive
Sure.
in the sense that you can, like, with Harry, it's kind of like I can see where you would be attractive, especially because you're rich, but also that hair.
Sure. Yeah. I mean he's a little old to match up with Tom Holland as far as like
I mean, I get it. But also, like, my perfect Spider-Man isn't Tom Holland. He's great and wonderful, but like I'm on a different wavelength with Spider-Man fan casting.
I mean, sure, sure. I'm just going off of what, you know.
No, I know.
What I'm keeping, and I love Tom Holland. I think he's great. So I'm totally cool with keeping him.
I don't know any young people, so.
No, I'd stay away from youths.
Right. I'm afraid of youths.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's a Stranger Things kid that somebody could make Harry Osborn or something.
Sure, sure, yeah. The
Stranger Kids thing.
Oh, the fucking Joe Keery. He plays.
I've never seen a Stranger Things episode in my life.
Okay, well, the 19 people that aren't me that are listening. That know Stranger Things, Steve from Stranger Things would be a very good Harry Osborn.
So we'll all right, there it is. Steve from Stranger Things.
Yeah. One thing that I want in this movie is one of my favorite things about good comic book movies is they always open with a fight with like a total jobber, like a lame villain, like in Winter Soldier when he fights Batroc the Leaper, like,
yeah,
that's awesome. Like you get to throw in one of those characters that isn't good enough to have like a full movie devoted to him, but you get to have like a little bit of fun and just kind of throw fans a bone with something kind of goofy. So with this movie, I want it to open with a fight with the Enforcers. Only because I want Fancy Dan to be in a movie.
Fancy Dan is amazing and does deserve a movie.
I mean, it just
to be in a movie.
If I can just say one day, I sat down in a theater and as the credits rolled, I saw somebody that was credited as Fancy Dan. I mean, I'm good. I've gotten everything that I could ever ask for. So like I don't even have casting for that. Like I don't care. Unknowns.
I don't care. As long as I get to see Fancy Dan in the credits and yes. Know that it's Fancy Dan in the movie.
Yes. I want somebody to say, get him Fancy Dan, and then like he fights with Spider-Man. Like that's all I want.
Perfect.
So here's where it gets crazy. I have a casting for Doc Ock that you will either love or you will hate. And my whole reasoning behind this is I don't like Doc Ock very much. So,
I mean, I agree. So.
So if this is my dream Spider-Man movie, I have to pick somebody to play Doc Ock who I would enjoy watching play Doc Ock. So I chose Mark Hamill because I think he would be really good at like playing that mentor to Peter, like prior to becoming Doc Ock, if you want to do that portion of the story. But he would also be really good at playing like the superior, like you dare think that you're as good as me, like that whole Doc.
I can get behind it because he plays a really good villain. Like, he's really good at being a villain. And I can completely see him just fucking up Peter Parker.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, even though he's older, you kind of get it that, like, he's an older scientist. He's been doing this a long time. That's kind of why he needs the arms. Like, he needs some help to get around a little bit because he is older. So it wouldn't even be an issue with his age or anything like that. And it would make sense that he'd have, like, tenure, you know, things like that.
Well, yeah, and it'd be 90% CGI anyway with the arms and shenanigans. All of the hard stuff will be done with fake robot arms. Oh man, that would be so good. And he wouldn't even have to do it and be like weird looking. He could just be like himself and that would be fine.
Yeah.
And also a great callback to the fact that both Peter and Ned are obsessed with Star Wars. And then it would just be like this little nod to everyone being like, Luke Skywalker, why have you forsaken me?
Because it, like, let's be real. We're not getting Harrison Ford as fucking Doc Ock. Like, it's not happening. Right. Like that, although it would be very funny, but it would not happen. So, and then,
that would be the weirdest casting.
Yeah.
That, yeah. No, 100% no.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, for Craven, I picked Rusev, who is a professional wrestler from Bulgaria. So he has the accent. And he's built like a house. He's able to do both comedy and like serious stuff. He's able to be scary and funny, like the whole thing. So whatever Craven you want to have, you can get it with Rusev. Rusev's great. Rusev number one. And then for
oh no, I think I lost you again.
So badly.
I lost you again after Rusev number one.
Oh, okay. Okay. so I didn't get that far. So for Mysterio, this is a rumor that had been around for ages, like all the way back to the Raimi movies. And I loved this idea so much that it's for sure in my dream Spider-Man movie. So for Mysterio, I want Bruce Campbell.
Okay. And you don't even have to sell me on that one.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Everybody's into that. And you have Bruce Campbell. You have him as, you know, an old Hollywood effects guy who did practical effects. So, like, everything that he does to try and get at Peter is practical. So it's kind of a statement, you know, here's all this CG stuff, but then like you're fighting Mysterio and it's all like practical and you can feel it and it's like kind of a meta statement. And I think that would be plus
absolutely
if there's anybody who's gonna pull off that fucking fishbowl, it's Bruce Campbell. He's gonna have his voice coming out from under that fishbowl and you're gonna be like, I get it, man. I get it. I'm down with you.
I mean, I also, listen, I'm not against the Jake Gyllenhaal casting either. Yeah.
I mean, I think if that is who he's playing, I think it's cool. I think it's super, super cool. And I think Gyllenhaal's always good. So
but like,
I'm in.
But he's also my Peter Parker.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever.
He was very close to being Peter Parker. So
I know.
It's kind of it's perfect for him to be involved in it. And so I've gone into this whole thing about my dream Spider-Man movie.
And you haven't mentioned Gwen Stacy once.
And there's the thing. So you have Peter encountering this huge insurmountable task and he doesn't have the ability to contact any of the people that he looked up to or relied upon in the past, because I mean if we're taking bets, I'm gonna guess that Captain America and Iron Man don't make it out of Avengers 4. It's not a spoiler. The movie is
no, it's just a like, it's just a guess.
It's just a guess. So
I am leaning more towards Cap surviving, though.
I mean, now. Entirely possible, but
I 100%. If I walk out of Avengers 4 and Tony's still alive, I'm going to be genuinely shocked because I am 100% convinced that he is going to die.
Yeah, yeah. So in this movie, I'm coming off the expectation that some of the people that Peter looked to and would trust and would ask for help from are no longer going to be there. So he's going to be like outmanned and outgunned, you know, doing something that he can't handle. And motherfucking Madam Web reaches through the Spider-Verse and is just like, yo, one of the spiders needs some help. You two, we need you to come in and save him, because like a lot of shit is hinging on this. And so she grabs Spider-Gwen and she grabs Miles Morales, and they're both older than Tom Holland because they've each been spiders for long
in their own universes.
That's why they were specifically picked, because they're experienced. They would know how to handle a situation like this. They would be able to help him. So for Miles, I'm saying, kind of close your eyes for like 5 minutes of Homecoming and forget
that, Donald Glover.
Yeah, forget that Donald Glover was already in this and he's Miles, because come on guys, Miles only exists because of Donald for Spider-Man. That is the reason that Miles was created. Why isn't Donald Glover already playing Miles Morales in a movie? Why are we doing this still? Come on.
He could also just look just like his uncle.
Entirely possible. Like if you want to,
like it happens.
If you want to explain it away like that, totally fine. And then you could have a situation where he meets Uncle Aaron, and he's just like, "What the hell?" And it's like, alternate universes. Don't even ask about it. And then they like swing away or something.
And also, if Bruce Wayne can manage to adopt 3 children from completely different people that look exactly like him, we can justify Donald Glover and Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's fine. It's totally fine.
You could just glide on past it, like not even an issue. And then...
Yep.
And then, the main event, the star of the piece, as Gwen Stacy... Spider-Gwen.
Oh, Ghost Spider, by the way. She's Ghost Spider now.
But whatever you want to call her.
I'm just saying.
Kristen Bell.
Yep.
I mean,
that's good.
She's perfect. She can hit Gwen's attitude. She can hit the parts where it's like, I'm coming at this from experience. Like, I have knowledge. I know what I'm talking about. So
it's a little Veronica Mars.
Exactly. Like it hits all of the bases. So that is the number one thing that I want in this movie.
Not to tangent too much, but speaking of Ghost Spider, so I saw there are these like little shorts to prepare for that Marvel Rising movie. And they killed a friend of hers, but it's not Peter.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought was interesting. And it's like, you're just leaving this open so that you can have Spider-Man.
you're just
leaving this open so that if this whole like team of like relatively unknown mostly lady heroes,
yeah,
and then some new patriot that I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And then the fire guy. If this doesn't pan out for you, you can have Spider-Man swoop in and save it. I see you, Disney. I see what you're doing.
Hedging their bets. Hedging their bets.
Yeah, some guy named Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
I don't know. Sometimes my cousins call my brother Kevin, and we don't know why. It just was a thing that started, and he hates it. So that's what matters.
As somebody that shares your brother's name, I get it.
Yeah, sometimes you're just Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it happens.
All right, so Gwen Stacy.
Kristen Bell
kicks everybody's butt.
Yes.
And
she's the hero.
Whips Tom Holland into shape.
Yep.
I'm for it.
And then bops off to her own universe again. And then
is like, peace.
She's like, see ya. And then when she does see you, it's in her extremely successful own movie series.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's fine. Cut the check.
There we go. Oh, and Venom isn't anywhere near this. Sorry, Chris.
fuck off. Venom's awesome. But only Chris's version of Venom, where she is a struggling single mother.
Yeah. The problem is that that's the only good version of Venom. Every version of Venom is the worst.
But we can have Venom. Like, I don't know. The recent Venom that we talked about, like, when it was Flash Thompson, like, he was teaching Venom how to love. And that sounded not what I wanted it to sound like.
Yeah.
But it was, he was, you know, he's like, goopy. He had a whole conversation. I know he's goopy.
Yeah.
But he had a whole conversation, like, stopping Peter from, because, like, Peter was all venomed out, and then he was like, no, don't, like, the violence doesn't have to happen, that comes from you, not from Venom, and, like, Venom is a good person. It was like, yeah, no, but, like, Eddie, or, like, Flash had, like, worked with Venom and, like, made Venom chill out.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Like,
it's Eddie Brock, man.
Sure, but like the entire leap of saying Flash Thompson, Peter's childhood bully, is all of a sudden the guy that's like, no, I'm gonna take this alien and I'm gonna teach it how to love. Like,
listen, first of all, he's dead, so respect him.
Yeah, sure.
Second of all, he has had a journey, and him and Peter were friends at the end. He has grown as a person. He went to war and lost his legs and came back and admitted that he was a dick and had a beautiful relationship with Betty Brant. And, you know, did his best to get his life together and be a better person. Oh. And him and Peter were friends.
Yeah.
And if Peter can forgive him, you can forgive him. Because it's not like he did anything like kill a girlfriend. He didn't do a Norman.
I know.
You know?
Oh, I know. I know.
You know I had to get one in there. You know I had to get one in there.
I knew I was leaving myself open to it. I brought up Norman and Gwen. What am I doing? Oh my God.
I'm just saying, he didn't. He was a bully, but he reformed. And if we can't forgive,
I know,
we're no better.
Started the whole, you know, getting veterans jobs foundation. Like,
right.
He did good stuff. He's
just No, he got better.
I know.
If we judged everybody by the fact that they were dicks in high school, nobody would have friends. Because everybody was a dick to somebody in high school.
True. Okay. Flash Thompson. I'm not fully taking you off the list, but you're on parole. You're not on my shit list. You're fine. Just. You know, if you come back to life and like you're Venom again and you're just like being a dick, I reserve the right to change.
But he wasn't a dick as Venom. He was doing good things.
All I'm saying is who's writing Spider-Man right now?
A garbage person.
And what does that person do a lot of the time with characters that have reformed or like have always been good since the beginning of time?
Make them Nazis.
Yeah. So I'm just saying I'm gonna reserve the right to, you know, take him off that list.
Oh, I didn't explain to you how DC has forsaken me yesterday.
What did they do?
So just as I am on the like full, like, I'm taking a little break from Marvel because I'm only reading one Marvel title right now, two Marvel titles right now, and everything else on my list is DC.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because DC is hitting me where I live. They are giving me exactly what I expect out of comics, and that is everyone is sad.
Yes.
Like, Batman is fucking sad. But then other people are not sad. Like, Dick is not sad. Him and Babs are, like, kind of getting back together.
Which I love.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this is, you're hitting me where, but then he's also going to get real fucked.
Yeah, he's.
But that's a lot of spoilers, so I'm not going to go any further than that.
Into it.
But then they're doing something that I generally enjoy, where they're with Nightwing, where it's, they're rolling over writers and creative teams. So it's like you write a story and then we put a new creative team on it. And so it's not something that it's going to get stale, or you're having somebody who's going to write it for 10 years and then just
getting
pass it off to someone else.
Fresh voices.
Right. Where it's, you know, there's not like a long continuing story going on, and it's not something like Batman where you need kind of those long continuing stories, which, as far as I'm concerned, Tom King can write it for the rest of his life. Yeah. He might not want to, but like he can, and I would accept it, and I would read every single one until the day that he dies or I die, whichever happens first, probably me.
Yeah, and, because he's going to give you a heart attack.
Right, because I would like one issue of a Tom King Batman that I don't cry on the bus.
It ain't happening, sister.
I don't think it'll ever happen, but it would be nice.
Yeah.
If I could just not cry on the bus one day. But so anyway, so the current writer, who I haven't loved, but it might just be the arc that is right now that I just didn't get behind. He is leaving in December.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scott Lobdell is going to be writing Nightwing.
No.
And it's the same sort of thing that's happening, which, according to Abby, he got better on Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Huh.
He grew and, like, got past the, like, weird sexualizing of Corey.
Because, like, I read that first issue of Red Hood and the Outlaws, and I was,
but like,
upset.
Both Caitlin and Abby have said that it went from there to be a pretty good book.
Okay.
And it just, everyone judged it too harshly.
So are you going to be able to, like, set it aside and give him a chance? Well,
and that's the thing, is like, so the solicit, without saying what the solicits are for spoiler reasons,
right,
for Caitlin specifically.
Specifically Caitlin.
If Caitlin, when you listen to this, imagine that I'm just staring you in the face.
And covering your ears.
There's
no spoilers going on, but just doing it out of solidarity.
But off recording, I can tell you what like the actual thing. Like, it sounds like a lot like what's happening with other books that I would potentially want to read or would have read if it weren't for the writer. It's everything that I would have wanted from a story, or things that are right in line to enjoy out of what's going on currently with DC books. But it's also not a writer that I'm fond of. But again, I gave him one issue of one book.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens.
I will at least give it a chance. It's not like it's friggin' Mark Millar coming in to do Nightwing.
I don't hate him as much as everybody else does. I get where he's problematic. I don't have the same visceral anger with Mark Millar. But it's not like you're giving it to, you know, my nemesis.
Yeah.
Dan Slott.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, it's not like you're giving it to Nazi sympathizers.
Right.
So, you know, it's fine. I will see how it goes. I'm just not jazzed about it. But also, like, if I drop Nightwing, I have nothing left but crying on the bus.
Right.
And I would like to not at least have something where I don't cry on the bus.
I mean, you could read some of the jolly books that I like to read, but you tell me that you hate them. So, like,
Well, I don't hate everything. I don't understand why everybody loves Squirrel Girl. I just don't get it.
Because it's funny.
I know, but I don't want to have.
And it's good natured. And
I'm not that thing.
And it's not even the same artist anymore, so you don't even have that excuse.
Well, maybe if the art, I'll be honest with you, my, like, 100% of my reasons besides the art Like, it's like maybe 20% the art, but it's 80%. I just to be contrary, like, I don't hate her as much as I pretend to. I just think because it would make Eric, just talking smack about her makes Eric make funny sounds.
Right.
And it's more just to be contrary. Like, it's fine. I have no actual issue with her. I don't want to read the book specifically because I didn't like the art.
Right.
But now it's mostly just now I've
doing it now. And Derek Charm's very good.
I've come too far in my contrary.
And now if you go back on it,
if I go back,
like a fraud.
Yeah, I'll be a fraud if I go back. And it's just,
so you could be a big person and like admit that you're wrong, like I've done on multiple occasions.
Have
like
I ever
made me care about Iron Man? So like you could do that thing that I have already done.
Yeah, but would that be true to me?
I mean, fair, sure, why not? But like,
I mean, saying, I also
you don't want to cry on the bus anymore. I'm giving you a book that's not going to make you cry, and you're looking this gift horse. You're looking it right in the mouth, and I'm saying, take this horse, and you're like, no.
I also enjoy just everybody being miserable too much that I can't. I still like crying on the bus. I just feel like I'm starting to get judged.
Right.
Is all.
You are.
You are. I mean, I also.
How much you judge other people on the bus. Like, that's everybody.
Listen.
Is judging every single person.
I only judge two types of people on the bus. People who do things that are not bus appropriate, like clipping your nails.
Sure.
Or playing your music without headphones on. And people who touch me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that includes people who man spread. Mm-hmm. People who decide that when they sit down in the seat next to me, they also have to sit on top of me.
Mm-hmm.
And random women who just touch me and want to talk to me about things that are outside the window when I'm have my headphones on and looking at my phone, very clearly engaged in something. And also, that's a really good way for you to get stabbed, because you don't know what life I've lived. You don't know where I've been in my life. Thankfully, I've never had anything that has been
bad,
traumatizing or post-traumatic stress. But, you know, you don't know that I don't have those issues. And I do have a problem with being touched by strangers.
Yeah.
And that is something that will respond. My response usually would be to elbow check you in the throat.
Right. As you do.
Because I also am a woman who lives in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone is a scary thing.
Right.
I'm just a woman who lives in the world.
In the world.
Let's be real.
In this, the world.
In this, the world. Of 20. The year of our Lord, 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I get it.
But that's fine. If they judge me for crying on the bus, it's fine. Like, I think it's not so much the judging of the crying. It's the active reading of a Batman comic and also crying.
Right.
Like, that's, I think, where they're like, what are you doing with your life? And I'm like, crying about Batman.
But, like, here's the thing. You could be crying on the bus over, like, Eat, Pray, Love, and I know what I'd rather cry over.
Yeah, 100% it's Batman.
Yeah, at least that time I'm enjoying myself and I'm not thinking about Julia Roberts.
Right. I mean, you might be. She could have been in a Batman.
Nope.
I mean... If the 90s had continued to have their way.
I don't think at any point in time we were ever in danger of Julia Roberts being in a Batman movie.
I don't know.
I can safely say that.
I don't know.
I feel like she holds herself up to a standard where she believes that would be beneath her, like, always. because like when she wasn't a crazy huge star, it like Batman was like still kind of on that Adam West kick where people thought it was still kind of cheesy. So like, why would she want to go after that? And then like after Batman 89, like, and it started picking up some steam, she was also like doing like the Pelican Brief and shit like that. Like, she was already on another like tick. So like, I don't think we have ever been in danger of Julia Roberts being in a Batman movie.
I mean, I would have said to you at one time we were never in danger of George Clooney being Batman, but it happened and there were nipples.
Like, when George Clooney was Batman, the only thing that he had done was like Facts of Life and ER and like and like From Dusk Till Dawn and like that one Jennifer Lopez movie. Like, he wasn't George Clooney at that
point. Out of sight. It was out of sight.
Thank you. Thank you. Guess what? Out of sight, out of mind. I forgot it.
Just like most of Jennifer Lopez's movies that aren't Selena.
Got ya. Got ya, J-Lo.
Anyway, she's not even the worst Jennifer that Ben Affleck dated.
Zing.
Ah!
Got ya, Elektra.
Don't diminish Elektra that way.
I mean, Elektra can do bad on her own.
Leave Electric Nachos out of this. She's done nothing to you.
She is just a different looking Bucky, and it's okay.
Okay. Yeah, but at least she was better in the series, in the TV show.
I know. She's just a
different looking Bucky. It's true.
We accept her. We love her. It's all right.
Yeah.
She is a little murdery.
I don't know if you've started picking up Daredevil again yet, but Phil Noto is there, and he's and so is Mike Murdock.
Man. Like, those are two of my favorite names in the world. Mike Murdock and Phil Noto. Like, yes. And
it's
yes.
It's thank time.
You. Thank you.
It's happened.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to make
it's literally the only reason I'm still reading Daredevil.
I'm going to have to make a trip.
Well, go tomorrow, and then you can read Batman 55, which is going to destroy me and make me cry on the bus.
Yep, and we're right back where we started.
Full circle, crying on the bus.
Oh, goodness gracious.
All right, well... Anything else? Got any other?
No, I think that's all I've got for today. But you know, who knows? I might show up in the future.
So I hope you show up in the future at some point.
Yeah. That's all I had notated for today.
Okay. Do you have anything to plug while you're still here and have the attention of 20 people?
Yeah. I might be bringing some more people. You know, you never know. I'm very popular.
In your own mind.
In my own mind. Yes.
Hey, you could, you know, the Birds of Prey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got to listen. I'm going to make them listen. I don't really do like social media anymore.
Can't even get the Teen Titans to listen.
I know.
Sorry. What? Anyway. What?
I don't really do the social media that much nowadays because it was giving me anxiety, and my therapist said I should stop. So I don't have a Twitter to plug or anything like that. So the only thing that I want to kind of get out there is this group of guys that do video game reviews, and they do streams, and they also have a D&D podcast, and they play Fiasco, which is a really fun improv tabletop game. They do that once a month, and they're called Easy Allies. And I've been supporting them for a long time. They originally started out at Game Trailers, and then when that shut down, they kind of spun off into their own thing. and they have been a huge source of positivity and just really good vibes in my life, and they've helped me through a lot of tough times. And so I would love for people to give them a chance if they're looking for somebody new to give their video game opinions or anything like that. They're really great, easy allies. You can find them on YouTube, Patreon, podcasts. They have multiple podcasts, so you can jump into that. But if you've been feeling down about the negativity that's been going on around in the world, Easy Allies might kind of lift you up, because everybody's just really nice, and they just preach love and respect. And I really carry that with me. But
that was beautiful.
Yeah, that's all I got.
That was nice. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Send me the link to that so I can put it in the show notes.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Well, I appreciate your time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
thank you for having me.
Of course. And then there was something else I was going to say, but I forgot what it was. So it probably wasn't important.
Okay.
None of what I say is. So, all right. Well, text me that, and I will probably text you other. I'll text you other stuff.
Yeah, we're always talking. So, like, right. What? Oh, you're gonna text me? Okay. Well, that's new.
Oh, geez, you're gonna talk to me outside of this situation?
Impossible.
Unacceptable.
Yes.
How dare you think that we communicate as humans?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, I'll let you go.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of No Budget Dreams. And thanks to Kyle for stopping by and being my guest this week. For more information on Easy Allies, please follow the link to their website in the show notes. And if you feel so inclined, please rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. I have a 5-star rating on iTunes right now. I'd kind of like to see some more reviews pop up if you feel like you'd like to do that. Also, feel free to engage with me on social media at No Budget Dreams on Twitter, No Budget Dreams Pod on Instagram, and nobudgetdreams@gmail.com. And check out my website, nobudgetdreams.com. And that'll do it for this episode. Thanks for coming on this journey with me.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.